establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America.
Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Jim Fetzer, who's a retired college professor who is still working on 9-1-1. Well, I'm glad he is, because this is a defining issue. This is a watershed event for America, and we've never been told the truth. The committee we had with Tom Keene and Lee Hamilton that investigated the 9-1-1 event, well, Governor Keene came from the Council on Foreign Relations. Lee Hamilton came from the Trilateral Commission. Almost half of the people on that commission came from the CFR. How can you have the people who created this whole problem investigate themselves? And, of course, it was not an impartial investigation. One of the members was a United States senator who wanted to investigate what really happened, and they threw him off the committee. They could never let the American people know the truth of what happened that morning, but there was a stand-down order. I know I had one of the gentlemen who worked at CENTCOM at my program, and his name was Sergeant Leo Chavez. He disappeared after that, never to be seen again. But we have a wonderful interview with him, where he tells us there was a stand-down order issued by Dr. Donald Rumsfeld that said there will be no response if there's hijacked planes. How could that be? And nobody ever talks about it. Well, Jim has a lot of great information on this subject. He's going to be at the conspiracy conference on the 2nd and 3rd of June in Santa Clara at the Marriott Hotel, where I'll be speaking. He'll be speaking, but I asked him to come on to the program and share with you all the information he has on this subject. Good morning, Jim. Thanks very much for being with us.
Oh, good morning, Stan. It's a great pleasure to be on the air with you again.
You go right ahead. You pick up the story.
Well, everything you've been saying is exactly right. It's astonishing. It's as though these 19 Islamic fundamentalists could bring about a stand down of the American Air Force so there'd be no possible interdiction. In fact, the standard operating procedure had been changed in June by the Secretary of Defense, Donald Rumsfeld, Stan, to require that the Secretary of Defense would have to personally approve any interdiction or shoot down of any aircraft. In fact, Webster Tarpley has now discovered that there were as many as 17 or more different drills that were arranged that day in order to ensure there'd be no response. Among the important studies we have are one from Elias Davidson, who's a European scholar, that shows the government has never been able to prove any of those hijackers were aboard any of those planes. And no doubt, as many of your listeners will know, David Ray Griffin, in his important study, the 9/11 Commission Report on Missions and Distortions, makes as his very first point that a half a dozen or more of those alleged terrorists were discovered alive and well the following day. Some were even interviewed by British newspapers, and that they were their parents acknowledged having received phone calls from them, even in the case of Mohammed Atta, who was alleged to be the ringleader. David Ray Griffin, building on the previous work of A.K. Dewdney, who is a computer scientist from Western Ontario, who had taken three different kinds of cell phones and flown around the country to discover that at speeds above 200 miles an hour or altitudes above 2,000 feet, they are completely unreliable. It has shown that all of those phone calls on 9/11 are fake. Even the FBI has confirmed that in the case of the rather well-known phone call that Ted Olson, then our Solicitor General, maintained he'd received from his wife Barbara, were phony and fake. Ted gave three different versions, one about a cell phone call from her. When it turned out that cell phones wouldn't work, he said it was an air phone. But that plane, which allegedly hit the Pentagon, was a 757, and Stan, in 2001, 757s did not have functional air phones. But the FBI has now confirmed that, in fact, he received no phone call from Barbara Olson. So when you have some of the highest, you know, ranking representatives of the administration, such as Ted Olson, blatantly lying to the American people, you know, things are not as they should be. And Colonel George Nelson, U.S. Air Force retired, has observed that of the millions of uniquely identifiable component parts from those four aircraft, the government has yet to produce even one, Stan. When an FBI official was asked why the National Transportation Safety Board, for the first time in its history, had not investigated plane crashes, he said that it was because we saw it on television. But, Stan, we didn't see what happened in Shanksville on television. We didn't see what happened at the Pentagon on television. And, in fact, of the five frames the Pentagon released, four of which were the expansion of the fireball, one of which was conveniently labeled plane. You can see the image of an aircraft just above gate mechanism. But when I asked the legendary photo analyst Jack White, whom I knew from my research on JFK, to size the image of a Boeing 757 to the tail of that aircraft, it turned out to be over twice as large as what we see in that frame. Where this small aircraft, which may be a fighter, is exuding a white trail, which pilots and aeronautical engineers have explained to me it cannot be from the jet exhaust of the engine, but could be from a small missile being fired into the building. So we know everything is wrong. Everything is wrong about this. Plus, two of those flights, Stan, and some of your audience are going to have difficulty believing what I'm going to say here, but I'll tell them exactly where they can find the proof. Two of those flights, 11, which is supposed to hit the North Tower, and 77, the Pentagon, were not even scheduled for flight that day. We have Bureau of Transportation Statistics records that show they were not even in the air. And the other two, Flight 93 and 175, the planes corresponding to those flights, were not deregistered by the FAA until 28 September 2005, which raises the questions, how can planes that were not in the air have crashed? And how can planes that crashed have still been in the air 4 years later? The plot has recently thickened, Stan, so that all four of these crash sites appear to be fabrications, namely that Pilots for 9/11 Truth has determined, based upon study of ground air communications, the Flight 93 was in the air, Stan, but at the very time it was supposed to be crashing in Shanksville, it was over Champaign, Urbana, Illinois. And that Flight 175 was also in the air, Stan, but at the time it was supposed to be entering the South Tower, it was actually
Jim. We'll be back in just a moment here at the American Freedom Network.
If you're spending hard-earned money on supplements, you need to know about BioSuperfood, because you're probably shortchanging yourself on nutrition and value. If you're buying products claiming to provide DNA protection from radiation, you're getting ripped off by inferior copycat products because there's no other product developed or researched like BioSuperfood. BioSuperfood is one complete superfood product that addresses radiation poisoning, allergies, arthritis, diabetes, high blood pressure, and other degenerative diseases. BioSuperfood helps digestion, decreases pain and inflammation, increases flexibility, improves heart health and brain function. It boosts your immune system and even inhibits the AIDS virus and cancerous cells. It's an antibacterial, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory. BioSuperfood is not another supplement. It's a whole food and contains over 5,000 nutrients. Call now and ask about your special discounts on your BioSuperfood purchase at 303-257-7576. That's 303-257-7576 or BioSuperfood at Hotmail.com.
Just a good old boy.
Hi, I'm Eric Cedarstrup. For over a decade, I've been the CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor of the Patriot Trading Group. And in that time, I've made friends with tens of thousands of like-minded individuals all over this country, most like me, trying to raise a family, run a business, and make sense out of a world gone mad. I'm proud of the fact that through stock bubbles, housing bubbles, and financial chaos, our customers are prospering and doing very well. By keeping our prices fair and our service fast, we find that 80% of our customers not only reorder, but they tell their friends. Don't be fooled by hype and high pressure. Do business with a company you can trust. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 1-800-951-0592 or check out our website at allamericangold.com. You'll be treated with honesty and respect. You have my word on it. I'm Eric Cedarstrom, CEO, shipping clerk, and janitor.
Making your way. The only way they know how.
Well, Dr. Dan, here I guess this morning, Jim, that the problem is we haven't been told the truth about what happened that morning. There was an organized effort to confuse certainly the FAA, to confuse the military. All these simulated hijackings as part of military exercises were held that morning. There was a stand-down order so that there would be no military response. What really happened? Certainly, if the people didn't die on the planes, what did happen to them? All these questions we don't like to ask because this would suggest that somebody killed the people in the Twin Towers and killed the people in the Pentagon because they wanted an excuse to go to war. There's no question. They wanted an excuse to go to war. They had the plans for the invasion of Afghanistan were on the president's desk on the 10th of September, according to Richard Clark, who is the czarism terror under a czar, so-called, under Bill Clinton, and he will tell you that in his book on the subject. All they needed was an excuse to go to war, sort of like they had the CT scanners to be used in the airports to scan passengers getting on a plane. They were all in warehouses all across the country. They just needed a incident to justify it. And we had then the underwear bomber, which, according to Kurt Haskell's testimony at the sentencing trial for the underwear bomber, Kurt Haskell had the congressional testimony where a man named Patrick Kennedy admitted that the State Department put the underwear bomber on the plane that morning. So if they would create an incident to justify putting out the CT scanners? Would they kill 3,000 people to justify getting to war? And I don't believe there's any question that they would. I believe that they're evil and wicked people behind what's going on. Jim, you pick up the story.
Well, Stan, you're exactly right. There's not only no question that they would, but there's really no question that they did once you look at the evidence. I mean, virtually everything the government has told us about 9/11 turns out to be false. And you made a nice point, too, in passing in relation to this anti-terrorist drills that were being conducted by the Department of Defense and the Pentagon. They had false blips on all the air traffic controller screens all over the country, representing simulated planes, some of which were alleged to be hijacking. And even after the event allegedly went live, they left all those blips on the air traffic controller screen, which was a certain giveaway that there was complicity by the Pentagon. Those blips should have all disappeared so that all the air traffic controllers were looking at were bona fide flights in the air, not faked or simulated flights. Those who may be stunned by what I'm saying can find substantiation in a series of articles I've recently published on Veterans Today. The most important is entitled Planes, No Planes, and Video Fakery. The second most important is entitled Reason and Rationality in Public Debate, the Case of Rob Balsamo, where I go through all of the evidence for the four crash sites, how we know that they were not even in the air or were elsewhere. You know, that evidence that shows 11 and 77 weren't in the air, that evidence that shows that 93 and 175, which allegedly hit the South Tower or crashed in Shangzhou, were in the air, but at far distant locations, which, of course, means that all four of the crash sites were faked. And then I go through the evidence that shows how they were faked. For example, in Shanksville, Colonel Nelson, whom I mentioned before, an Air Force expert on air crashes, observed that it looked to him as though someone had taken a bulldozer out there, dug a ditch, filled it with trash, and blown it up. There's no indication of any Boeing 757 having crashed there, which would have a wingspan of 125 feet. It's 155 feet long. It weighs nearly 100 tons, but there's no debris whatsoever. But one of the rather fantastic explanations that have been offered by defenders of the official account is that it disappeared into soft ground because that was an area that had been previously mined. Indeed, one variation claims that the plane disappeared into an abandoned mine shaft stand, as incredible as that sounds. But the fact is, we know what to do with miners who are trapped in mine shafts. We get out the bright lights and the heavy equipment, and we dig 24/7 in the hope that by some miracle someone might have survived. Well, here you have the alleged passengers aboard the plane, and they didn't even do that. They didn't bring out the bright lights and the heavy equipment even to recover the bodies. The situation was absurd. The medical examiner said he ceased being coroner after 15 minutes because there were no bodies whatsoever. He later observed he didn't see a single speck of blood. Two reporters who were first on the scene both independently reported that the eerie aspect of the crash site was that there was no indication that any plane had crashed there. I mean, the situation is absurd. They kept the reporters and photographers 1,000 yards away. They tidied up the site, which only showed a gash in the ground and virtually nothing else to substantiate the claim that a plane had crashed there. And they even trimmed the brush and the trees that had been singed or burned so they couldn't be subjected to chemical analysis. EPA later went out there, Stan, to study the ground to see if it had been contaminated by jet fuel, since the plane was carrying, you know, thousands of gallons of jet fuel. And guess what, Stan? They found no indication of any contamination of jet fuel in Shanksville.
Well, I can remember seeing pictures of the hole at Shanksville and saying to myself, there's no wreckage. How could that plane, a major mammoth plane, have crashed there and there's no wreckage at all? Oh, they did find the passport of one of the alleged hijackers there with a little bit singed. But if you've ever seen the picture of the crash site at Shanksville, no plane. How could you convince 300 million people a plane crashed there? Now, apparently there was some wreckage some distance away. I mean, one of the motors and a few other things were found, but nothing at the crash site. Just doesn't make any sense. But, you know, all you have to do is insist that the government said it was there and the media agrees, and nobody publicly challenges this, and as a result, people believe what is an obvious lie. I've seen the pictures repeatedly of the hole, and that's all it is a hole and no wreckage.
You're absolutely right, Stan. In fact, one of the four articles I have there on Veterans Today was co-authored with Dean Hartwell, who's published a book entitled Planes Without Passengers. It's entitled the Passenger Paradox. So what happened to Flight 93? Where the evidence tends to suggest that it landed in Cleveland, interestingly, where the mayor, by the name of White, came out and was interviewed by an ABC News crew. He referred to Flight 93 specifically, explained it had been taken to a different, distant hangar under great security, that the passengers had been offloaded. And later, the government would publish photographs of crash victims, the purported crash victims, Stan. But when it was observed that these were all intact bodies, perfectly intact bodies, and that all four of the crashes had been so violent that the bodies would have been ripped into shreds, they removed them from the Internet so that you can no longer gain access. But, I mean, the performance here has been that blatant. In fact, I traced that article, that ABC News report, and it was revised 14 times, Stan, before they simply abandoned it.
Well, the frightening thing is, that somebody murdered those people, and nobody wants to talk about it. They were frankly murdered. We're dealing with mass murderers, but why should we be surprised? They're not concerned that a million people died over there in Iraq and Afghanistan. A million civilians were killed because of a phony and staged accident here. So, we're dealing with people who are pretty unconcerned about people dying, and I have no question that all of those passengers had to be killed, otherwise the American people would discover the truth. That's the frightening thing.
Well, you're absolutely right, too, about the motivation. It had to do with oil or Israel and ideology. In fact, nothing will tick off the American government more than if you switch off of the petrodollar onto the petro-euro. That is what Saddam Hussein had done, just as it is what Muammar Gaddafi did in Libya, where he was turning the country over to the gold dinar, which would have become the currency of Africa. And it's also what Iran has done by moving to an oil bourse, where they'll accept different currencies and do not request dollars to make their transactions in oil. The American dollar is only propped up by being the reserve currency of the world. Its most important role is in transactions involving oil, Stan, so that all the rich bankers and financiers and so forth dread nothing more than the fall of the value of the dollar, which had a lot to do with what was going on here. All the stories we were told, of course, about Saddam having weapons of mass destruction were complete baloney. The idea he had anything to do with 9/11 was nonsense. 15 of the 19 purported hijackers were from Saudi Arabia. The number from Iraq was zero. Afghanistan, when we confronted them and requested that Osama bin Laden be turned over to us, said they'd be glad to do that if we could produce any proof that he'd been involved. And, of course, Colin Powell and Condoleezza Rice, with great fanfare, assured them they would do that. But, of course, they never did. Before 9/11, we had promised them that if they allowed this pipeline to be built across the northern part of Afghanistan, we'd bathe them in gold. And if not, we'd bathe them in bombs. And after 9/11, that's, of course, precisely what we did. Osama bin Laden himself appears to have had nothing to do with it when he had his initial interview about 9/11 took place. He explained that it was contrary to the tenets of Islam to murder innocent women and children, that there was a government within the government that wanted to blame this on Muslims, and that while he was opposed to American troops being stationed in Saudi Arabia, the home of Mecca and Medina, the two most holy sites in all of Islam, that he had nothing to do with 9/11. And, of course, everything he was saying has turned out to be true. Osama actually died in around December 15, 2001, not long after these events. Of course, you know, he was in terrible health. The CIA agent had even visited him when he was in a hospital in Dubai undergoing kidney dialysis. And he was buried in an unmarked grave. David Ray Griffin has a whole book about it entitled Osama Bin Laden Dead or Alive. In fact, when Ed Haas, who runs the Muckraker Report, an online journal, noticed that an FBI wanted poster for Osama said nothing about 9/11. He called the FBI and spoke with his representative, Rex Toom, who explained that the reason there was nothing about Osama bin Laden on the FBI's wanted poster is that the FBI had no hard evidence that Osama had anything to do with 9/11. Eventually, even George W. Bush would acknowledge that Osama bin Laden wasn't involved in 9/11, that Saddam Hussein wasn't involved in 9/11, and from the FBI we know that Osama wasn't either. The whole thing is ridiculous. And then we have this staged event in the Pakistan compound to add insult to injury, Stan, is simply absurd. Do you know now that the Department of Defense claims it has no photographs and no videos from the attack on that compound, even though we sat there and watched this phony staged photograph of Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden and Barack Obama watching a screen intensely, which we were given the impression was of watching live the action attacking the compound, although Leon Panetta, who was then the director of Central Intelligence, blew that out of the water the next day by observing that the first 20 or 25 minutes there was no coverage at all. These operations only take a few minutes, Stan, maybe five at the max. This whole thing was a staged event. The idea that they would bury his body at sea in accordance with Islamic traditions is simply absurd. That's disrespectful to the body. It's going to be consumed by the fish and the crustaceans and sharks if they're in the vicinity. The whole story was a cock and bull just to boost Obama's standing in the polls at a time when he was under great criticism for not having closed Guantanamo, for still having forces in Pakistan, and because of the dubious character of his birth certificate.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in a moment with Tim Pitcher.
Taste the difference at Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods, providing natural meats and wild game like elk, buffalo, venison, veal, quail, and duck. Get your delicious homemade soups, stews, sauces, and tamales, pot pies, and desserts to go at Herb's Meats in Broomfield. Call 303-499-8166 or stop by 1000 Depot Hill Road. That's 1000 Depot Hill Road at the intersection of Highway 287 and 10th Avenue in Broomfield. 303-499-8166 or herbsmeats.com. Open 7 days a week.
Custom Cabinet Shop is a locally owned and operated family business since 1980. So if you want fair and reasonable prices, personalized service, and excellence in workmanship for your refacing, repair, installation, millwork, or remodeling projects for your home and business, Custom Cabinet Shop can do the job for you. Call now for your free quote and on-site consultation, 303-340-1390. That's 303-340-1390. So Custom Cabinet Shop can attend to your every woodworking need. Cabinets to fit your taste, furniture to fill your space, and shelves to store more. Gun racks for what you pack. High-end, low-end, repair, reface, remodel, or replace. Mantles, ceilings, or trim. Whatever you need. Don't overpay for in-house calls, design consultations, or repairs. Call for your free quote and a single on-site visit to get your project rolling now. That's Custom Cabinet Shop, 303-340-1390. Find us on Facebook.
The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the peoples of no effect. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. Psalm 33, verses 10 through 12.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. Severe weather season is just around the corner, and the Colorado Broadcasters Association, in cooperation with the National Weather Service, is conducting statewide emergency alert system test on Tuesday, April the 17th, between 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. This statewide test allows Colorado's radio and television stations to confirm that their equipment is working properly before we get into severe weather seasons. To learn more about the April 17th statewide emergency alert system test, visit coloradobroadcasters.org.
our guest this morning, and Jim Metzger, retired college professor, and certainly one of my favorite guests. We've had him on many times in the past on other subjects, but he is very well informed. He will be speaking at the Conspiracy Conference, and that is on the 2nd and 3rd of June. And you want more information, just go off on the Internet and look up conspiracyconference.com. Conspiracyconference.com. And now if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question, our number is 877-254-7524. 877-254-7524. Jim, do you have a website or someplace people could go to get this information?
Yes, there are those articles on Veterans Today. If you just enter Veterans Today, Jim Fetzer, it will give you an archive of all my articles there. And four of my most recent are devoted to this. There's also an interview done with a Canadian journalist who will be one of the hosts at the Vancouver hearings, which is a major conference on 9/11 that will be held in Vancouver 15 to 17 June by the name of Jack Etkin. And you can find that if you go to www.911vancouverhearings.com. You'll find a discussion of many of these issues in that interview with Jack Etkin, which can also be found directly on YouTube under the title of Face to Phone with Jim Fetzer. Usually his interviews are done face to face right in the studio, but since I was being connected by phone, he entitled it Face to Phone with Jim Fetzer, and there's a short take, a review of some of the key evidence that substantiates what I'm explaining about the fabrication of the crash sites, each one of which, by the way, Stan, was done in a different way.
All right. Well, what's sort of response? Oh, we have a caller. Who is calling in?
Well, hi, Dr. Stan. This is Steve from the Greeley area calling in to speak with you and Dr. Fetzer. Just had a question, a hypothesis that you can comment upon. Flight 93 was delayed in takeoff by about 45 minutes, 43 minutes, I guess it was, which put it outside the window. And because by the time this hijacking had taken place at 9:28, the two planes had already hit Twin Towers in New York. Is it possible that 93 was slated to hit World Trade Center 7? That's my hypothesis. And so, things went wrong. They started playing the tape or the program. They couldn't abort. The hijacking was in place. And then, of course, 93 ended up way out in western Pennsylvania, wandering around, then eventually shot down, apparently, because it didn't crash, as you pointed out, where they said it did in that field in Shanksville. But I'm just suggesting that possibly it was the build. It was its target was World Trade Center 7, but missed its window by 45 minutes. And then the possibility also that if that isn't the case, were there bombs in World Trade Center 7 that misfunctioned, and that left them sweating out a solution that later on that afternoon, when then as Larry Silverstein stated, they decided to pull the building because obviously the World Trade Center 7 was laced with explosives. It would have been discovered. All that information, you know, the pertaining to the trials of and you know hearings and investigations in WorldCom, Enron, BCCB, all that information was lost. A number of other situations surrounding the security and you know all kinds of investigations by SEC and people like that in WTC 7 had to go down. It was one of the principal parts of this whole formula. 9/11.
Let's get Jim's thoughts on what you're saying. There are many people who hypothesize this, and you've articulated it very well. Jim, what are your thoughts about the relationship between what happened in Shanksville and the strains of the collapse of building 7 at 5:25 in the evening, which is very, very difficult to explain, although that they've explained it, and anybody who questions it, well, some people have met a strange demise who questioned it. But go right ahead. What are your thoughts on this concept?
Well, I suppose we could speculate endlessly about 93 in relation to Building 7, which, as you observed, didn't come down until about 7 hours after the destruction of the buildings 1 and 2, the North and the South Tower, which which were contrived events all by themselves. But to talk briefly about 7 and contrast it with 1 and 2, 7 was a classic controlled demolition. You can actually see the explosion go down the side, up the side and to the top, in classic kink. All the floors come down at the same time. And when it's over, there's a stack of pancakes, debris, mostly floors, equal to about 12% of the height of the original, which is what experience with controlled demolitions has shown as a typical outcome. In the case of the Twin Towers, however, all the floors remain stationary, and the buildings are being blown apart from the top down. You see this massive explosive force going in every direction. Contrast that with Building 7. Building 7 shows the effects of gravity, which operates in only one direction, down. The top of Building 7 is not blowing apart in every direction. What we have here, therefore, is a completely different mechanism that was used on Buildings 1 and 2, the North and the South Tower, rather than Building 7. And in fact, not only are all the floors remaining stationary, but the building's being converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust, which appears to have been essential to what was taking place here, Stan. These buildings were loaded with asbestos, by the way. The Port Authority had directed that the asbestos had to be removed. It would have been fantastically expensive to take it out. Can you imagine building scaffoldings around 110-story buildings for that purpose? But in addition, the Twin Towers were built in what's called the bathtub. It was a kind of dike that would keep out Hudson River water. If the bathtub had been shattered by any significant portion of these 500,000-ton buildings crashing into it, then Lower Manhattan, the most valuable real estate in the world, would have been flooded. Subway tunnels flooded, PATH train tunnels flooded. That, of course, did not happen. But it did not happen because they found an ingenious way to destroy these buildings that converted them into dust. In fact, Father Frank Morales, who was a first responder from St. Mark's Episcopal Church, came on my own radio shows twice to explain that those buildings were actually destroyed below ground level. And in some photographs, Stan, for example, Building 6, which had this enormous hole in the center scooped out, you know, like a surgical procedure, you can see just to the side of Building 6 where Building 1 stood, and there's virtually no debris at all. And then over to the left, you can see where Building 7 stood, and there's a massive pile of debris. I recommend two YouTubes that are excellent about this. One is entitled This is an Orange by Anthony Lawson, a brilliant piece of work. Another is entitled 9/11, The Towers of Dust. If you take a look at those, you'll see what I'm talking about, completely different mechanisms. And, you know, they had to take special pains with the Twin Towers.
And, of course, they simply vaporized 1,000 bodies, never been found. They vaporized everything in the building, basically. The furniture, the telephones, the computers, they just weren't there when they went through the debris, or only small parts of them. Well, we do have another caller. Who's on the line?
Good morning, Dr. Stan. This is Janan in Texas.
Hi, Janan. How are you?
I'm very fine, thank you. Dr. Stan, you made a phrase a while ago, organized effort to confuse, and that is so true. And I just want to thank you for having Dr. Fetzer talk about 9/11 today. And Dr. Fetzer has done more than anyone to unconfuse us. So I just wanted to say that, but I did
You're
have a brief question
right.
about Building 7.
Thank you for calling.
Taste the difference at Herb's Meats and Specialty Foods, providing natural meats and wild game like elk, buffalo, venison, veal, quail, and duck. Get your delicious homemade soups, stews, sauces, and tamales, pot pies, and desserts to go at Herb's Meats in Broomfield. Call 303-499-8166 or stop by 1000 Depot Hill Road. That's 1000 Depot Hill Road at the intersection of Highway 287 and 10th Avenue in Broomfield. 303-499-8166 or herbsmeats.com. Open 7 days a week.
And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
The United States Constitution is a joke to politicians in Washington, D.C. Visit America527.org to help defend America from her enemies, foreign and domestic. We believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. We believe in liberty. We believe that only patriots can keep liberty alive. Work with America527.org to save liberty in America. Visit America527.org today.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival.
Well, Dr. Anna's last session here. Janon, are you still there?
Yes, yes, Dr. Stan. My question about Building 7 was the fact that they brought it down in the late in the afternoon, was that Plan B for the perpetrators, or was that Plan A, or what would the possible motivations there be? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you very much.
Certainly, I think anything we say is speculation. But, Jim, why don't you give your thoughts on why Building 7 comes down, a 5 hour.
Well, what's fascinating about Building 7, Stan, is it was perhaps the most robust building ever constructed in the history of civil engineering. It was erected over two enormous electrical generators providing electricity for lower Manhattan. It was designed to never collapse. For example, even though the Twin Towers were built with these massive core columns that were as much as 6 inches thick, they had an empty center, open area in the center. But in Building 7, the beams were solid steel. And so this was a virtually indestructible building. We do know from Barry Jennings, who was an official with the New York Emergency Management System, who had gone to Building 7, because Rudy Giuliani had his emergency command and control center there on two floors with his own air and water. And when he arrived there, he discovered half-eaten sandwiches, still steaming coffee. A fireman came along and said, "We got to get you out of here." He reported that while he was trying to escape from the building, that explosions were going on. At one point, a staircase was blown out from under him. He felt himself stepping over what he took to be dead bodies. He couldn't see them, but he could feel them because it was pitch black. When he got out, he was interviewed, and you can find some of his interviews on YouTube. A few have been sanitized, but others explain and confirm exactly what I've been telling you. When the NIST was about to release its final report on Building 7, which Barry Jennings' testimony would have contradicted, he was found dead. This is just a couple of days before. I'm reminded of the trucker buddy of a friend of mine from JFK Research. The friend's name is Roy Schaefer. His trucker buddy was named Dave Ball, who was in front of the Pentagon, wrote Roy to say, he watched a huge plane fly toward the building and then swerve over it, which is what we have confirmed now to be the case based upon data that the Bureau of Transport, the NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board, provided the pilots for 9/11 Truth that shows the plane on a very different trajectory. In fact, the official trajectory for Flight 77 hitting the building, flying 500 miles an hour, just skimming the ground, hitting these lampposts isn't even aeronautically or physically possible. There's something called ground effect that would have kept any plane at that speed at least 60 or more feet off of the ground, so that's not possible. If it had hit lampposts, the effect of a plane traveling 500 miles an hour hitting a stationary lamppost is the same as a stationary plane being hit by a lamppost traveling 500 miles an hour. It would have ripped the wing off of the plane. Its fuel would have burst into flame. It would have cartwheeled and damaged the lawn. The lawn, in fact, is clear and pristine. I show this in many places. So that what we have been told by the government is a completely fabricated story. But pilots, by analyzing the data given to them by the NTSB, discovered that a plane on a due east approach, completely different, was 300 feet in the air, too high to hit any lampposts, and a second from impact was 100 feet too high to have hit the Pentagon and swerved over it. where, you know, a group called Citizens Investigative Team, CIT, has also discovered witnesses who have reported that they saw a plane approach the building, but it was north of the Citgo station, whereas if the official account were true, it would have been south. So what they did here is to set off explosives at the same time the plane was swerving over the building to make it look as though it were cause and effect. April Gallup, a civilian employee who was there with her infant that day, Stan, was in the office, was badly shaken by the explosion of the facade. She walked out the hole in the Pentagon, looked around and saw no evidence, no indication that any plane had crashed there. Even Jamie McIntyre from CNN showed up early and told the anchor when he was asked about the plane having crashed there that you might think that that had happened, but from his close-up inspection, there was no indication that any large plane had crashed anywhere near the Pentagon. Later, evidently under duress, he had to say any fool would know that a plane hit the Pentagon. But, you know, as Jamie McIntyre is not with CNN anymore, I think the damage to his integrity by being forced to do that was too much for him. He gave an honest report to begin with and then was compromised.
Well, I think we have one more caller. Who's the caller?
This is Jim in Colorado.
Go ahead, Jim.
I wanted to ask Dr. Fitzer if there were some articles after 9/11 about the drones being constructed in the Fort Collins Loveland Airport out here. Were these drones that hit the building, or was what were they that hit the towers?
Well, the towers are a fascinating case. I'm glad you asked. In fact, the case of the tower, we have in the first place, the Nade brothers filming of what's supposed to be Flight 11, which we know wasn't even in the air that day, hitting the North Tower. And when you look very carefully at a time sequence of the footage, you can see whatever it was in the air doesn't at all resemble a Boeing 767, which with a wingspan of 150 feet would have covered, you know, three quarters of the width of the tower at 208 feet. In fact, when the impact takes place, you see four different points of impact that establish the figure of a Z, but after the smoke clears, it's turned into an elongated V. That smoke ought to have been disturbed by the wake vortex of a plane passing there, but as Ace Baker observed, that does not occur. The best we can conjecture is that this appears to have been the simulation of an airplane using a close formation of unmanned aerial vehicles. In fact, Leslie Raphael, who's a Scottish student, has published a piece about the Nade brothers' film having been staged by observing that in order for them to be at that specific location, given the number of high buildings in New York and everything else that would otherwise have obstructed the view, over 100 highly improbable circumstances had to be realized on that occasion, implying that their being there at that time was not a matter of coincidence or happenstance, and that the story that they were investigating firefighters checking out a gas leak is complete baloney. Flight 175 is by far the most complicated case because it's traveling faster than a standard Boeing 767, somewhere around 500 miles an hour, which at that altitude is impossible. I mean, a Boeing 767 can make 500 miles an hour at 35,000 feet. But at 700 to 1,000, the air is three times denser, and it can't suck the air through the turbines fast enough, and they start to function as brakes. The plane also would have been unmanageable at that speed, at that altitude.
Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone into the world. By this you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Yeshua, Jesus, has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have already heard was coming and is now already in the world. 1 John 4:1.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity to ordain and establish this Constitution.
CINN stations in Ault salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against it, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comfort of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into a search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from CINN stations in Ault, wishing Godspeed to our fighting men and women and thanking them for their triumphs and their sacrifices. Restore Health and Counseling salutes the men and women in uniform who've answered the call for our freedoms. Let's give them the hero's welcome they deserve as they have fought hard to restore peace. America's troops are our angels of protection, so stand up and salute them proudly. That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705 Paris Street, serving Northeast Denver with complete substance abuse counseling for adolescents to adult and for private as well as professional drug, alcohol screening and treatment and rehabilitation. Visit us at www.rhctherapy.com or call 303-373-1188.
Oh, well, Jim, are you still there?
Yeah, I am, Stan.
I'm afraid the program is over. Thank you so much for being with us, and we'll look forward to our next interview.
Oh, thank you so much, Stan. I
appreciate all the work you've done.
Thanks so much.
God bless. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we could go on for hours. You'll listen to our other programs. You'll hear some of our other programs with Jim Fetzer, who will be on with us several times. This is the time, though, that I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. We can certainly use some financial help. We're trying to get caught up. We're way behind this year, so because a lot of people are hurting, and they're certainly not buying the large amounts of DVDs and other items we have. If you're in a position to help us, we'd appreciate it. We have the great new DVDs, Rosalind Peterson on geoengineering, Betty Martini on aspartame, Michael Shaw on the Agenda 21, and then my new DVD, it's my interview with Norman Dodd on film. We did that in 1980, but then I have a 45-minute update so that you won't have to make all the mistakes I've made over the last 50 years, get lost trying to fight the non-existent communist enemy. We finance communism since its inception, just like we financed the Nazis all during World War II. 100 American corporations over there, certainly, building the weapons to kill our boys. After all, if you didn't have a powerful German military, how could you have a war? You need to get Dr. Dennis Keddie's wonderful little book, The Power Elite and the Secret Nazi Plan, touches on that, although we have John Loftus's book on the America's Nazi Secret, Sydney Professor Sutton, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, Charles Higham, Trading with the Enemy, and to understand that the Nazis were funded during the war by Brown Brothers Harriman, and one of their board of directors was a man named Prescott Bush, the grandfather of George W. Bush, the father of George Herbert Walker Bush. He was actually indicted after World War II for collaboration with the enemy. Now, we never talk about that. We never talk about the 100 American corporations that operated in Germany all during the Second World War and how our bombers were never allowed to bomb the American plants that were building the weapons used to kill our boys. And just as we financed the North Vietnamese during the Vietnam War, so we financed the Germans during the Second World War. You need to get my DVD interview with Professor Sutton, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy, or his book, The Best Enemies Money Can Buy. Gives you all the details, all the documentation, and nobody else knows. Everything's been done to suppress it. Our number 877 number if you'd like to call in and get into the items, 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. If you'd like to support Radio Liberty, give us a call, 800-544-8927, or go to our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. But please pray for America, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. And so until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.
And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 1 through 3.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant